Good evening, fellow human beings who are located across the infinite space-time parallelogram. To all of you agents of causality acting out there in the night, it is Tuesday. It's 10:30 p.m. here in Little Saigon. Little Saigon, Seattle. Fucking Tuesday, December the 17th, 2019. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? It's almost Christmas time. Almost time for Christmas. That did not bing bonk very well, but that's okay. I come up with this bullshit on the fly. It's Tuesday, people. It's Tuesday. Tuesday is a great day of the week, people. Great day of the week. Great day of the week to think about bullshit. And so while we're at it, let's look at the first... Yeah, whatever. People will make a false assumption when they're interacting with me. I think because I'm, you know, very expressive in this podcast, so they make assumptions. And one of the assumptions you might make is that I'm basically an angry old dude. And though I would agree that is part of the picture, that I am angry, but that's not the whole fucking picture, is it? Not for me, not for you, buddy. I am middle-aged. I am fat. I am burnt out. I am a computer programmer, but I'm totally burnt out. So burnt out that if you were to say, Dan, why don't you use ad blocker? Why don't you use, you know, Brave browser? Because I just don't think it matters. Okay, I am in technology. I understand security and encryption, and I am telling you straight up that in all likelihood, every fucking NSA, every fucking CIA exploit that exists is on the fucking motherboard or on the chip or both. So unless you're manufacturing your own fucking CPUs, you're fucked. I don't care if you run Windows, Apple, Linux, it doesn't fucking matter. The actual exploit, the actual man in the middle, is hardwired into the CPU in all likelihood. And if not there, someplace else. But it is not software. I'm pretty certain about that. And so, yeah, I'm at this point where if people say, well, Dan, don't you want to, like, do this or do that? And don't you care about this? Like, you know what? I don't. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay. I'm no longer connected to that need. Okay? I'm a scary looking dude, I'll tell you this straight up. Especially when I don't cut my hair or groom it. And I don't even know if I've ever really groomed my hair. I've mostly just worn my hair short, and that's the thing to do. Wear your hair short like a crazy... No, anyways... But my hair is long and scary now. It's so fucking long and scary. And I'm okay with that too. Frankly, given the nature of my neighborhood, looking kind of old and scary and having scary ass hair, it mostly works to my benefit. Homeless people stay away from me because they figure I'm homeless, and normies stay away from me because, you know, they figure I'm homeless. And if you ask me, that's a classic example, to use Garfine parlance, of a hole in one. It is, it's a hole in one. So anyways, I don't need to talk more about that. It's just some of you may be wondering how I'm doing around the holidays. I'm probably doing about as well as most of you. You know, I've got a friend in Alabama who I care about, and I think he's processing a lot. And I got friends in St. Louis and friends in other places, and everyone's dealing with shit. And nobody's got an easy ride, okay? No one. And in many ways, I have an easy ride. I don't have any money to speak of, but I have a place to live. I don't have any career or success, but I don't really need those things. I mean, I know society tells you you should have those things, but in a free world, what would it mean to have a career? I think in a free world, it means that you've found fulfillment. In a free world, I think it means that you're at peace with who you are. And you don't need other people to say congratulations in a free world. It's all good, people. You should be grateful for the things you have. Tis the season. I know these are difficult, stressful times, and I know a lot of people are wondering what happens next. Guess what? Who the fuck knows other than God? And if you don't believe in God, then pick whatever metaphor you want. You could even say it's nothing, Dan. It's chaos. It's infinite chaos, Dan. There's nothing there. It's an empty room. The universe is a giant pile of nothingness. We think it's molecules and atoms and other kinds of bullshit. But in reality, there's nothing there, Dan. It's a big empty nothing. There's nothing there, Dan. Look into the heart of the universe, you'll find nothing there. I used to believe that shit, folks. Nothing. You got particles and energy, you got matter and space-time and all kinds of weird physics, but what do you really have? Yeah, dark matter? Yeah, that helps. Look into the heart of the universe and tell me what you see. look into the heart of the universe, people. If you're a Christian like me, if you believe in God, you have one solution. If you're an atheist, you have another. It's all good. I don't give a fuck. What I'm telling you is lots of people have concerns. And a lot of this shit, if not all of it, is totally out of your control. So the best advice I can give is, if it stresses you out, pay it no mind. And oh, by the way, that includes my fucking podcast. This is a free reminder to every listener. I talk about scary fucking shit. And I have my own scary fucking opinions. And I'm not claiming I'm right. Guess what? I could very well be wrong in Little Saigon. Totally possible. Totally plausible. Just another middle-aged drunk Irishman waiting to die. It's all plausible. My point is, this is a dark podcast. And it's okay if you don't want to listen, buddy. It's okay if you don't want to listen, buddy. It's okay. First topic, I read an article on Zero Hedge. I guess you know where I go to get my aggregated fucking news. Anyways, I'm going to drink a little bit more of my Taster's Choice while I'm thinking about it. Yeah, so I read an article on Zero Hedge by our good friend Pat Buchanan. And it had to do with secession. Are you a secesh? Are you a Confederate? Are you a fucking Confederate secessionist? Oh my God, that means you're into slavery and racism. Or does it? I don't know. There's a famous quote from the 90s, and I forget the name of some kind of a neocon State Department fuck. I'm forgetting his name right now. It wasn't her. Although you could call Madeleine Albright potentially a male sex change, because I truly don't know what gender she is or was, because she's dead, right? Is she dead? She should be. Anyways, no, not Madeleine Albright, because, yeah, but some dude, I forget his name, but he made this statement that if we didn't do anything about it, the world would end up with 50,000 countries. And I gotta say, if the world had 50,000 countries, I think it would be a better fucking world. In fact, I'll even go a step further. If it had 50,000 countries, that's potentially 50,000 choices of a place to live. A place that might actually conform to your faith, your beliefs, your values. You see, I grew up in a country once, and I believe it's mythological now, which means I was probably on drugs when I was a kid. Because I grew up in this country once that was called the Land of the Free and the Home of the Brave. And in the last 30 years, more or less, plus or minus, that's all changed. Especially after 9/11. I mean, after 9/11, we couldn't afford our freedom, right? We couldn't afford to have our freedom. We didn't want to listen to that Benjamin Franklin. What are you saying again about the how if a guy trades his security for his liberty, he or she shall have neither? I think that's more or less a butchering of the fucking Franklin quote. Well, here's the deal, folks. We have neither. You're living on the fucking Death Star. And it may have always been the Death Star. I'm an anarchist, full disclosure. We were probably a free country under the Articles of Confederation. That means for about 5 years, we were a free country. After that, it was all downhill. Now, again, not linear, not all at once. slowly pinpricks the boiled frog. And guess what? Mostly the government cared about killing Native Americans in the 19th century. So if you're a white and male, things are pretty fucking good. Right? I mean, and that too is an oversimplification. The fact is, there are a lot of people who fear actual diversity. Now, let me explain something. There is diversity according to kind of the globalist New World Order, which means that you get to have five flavors. Five flavors, not six, not two, but you get to have five. And that is the world they give you. You get five fucking flavors of reality. But what I'm telling you is that there's a fairly good chance that the human psyche depends upon more than five flavors. And you could think of this as five different ways to build a house, or five different ways to settle disputes, five different ways to build a power plant, five different ways to avoid destroying the environment, instead of one or two guaranteed ways of killing the oceans, which is what we have right now. So, and again, this Pat Buchanan article, it kind of disturbed me, because Buchanan is ostensibly a conservative. But what he really is a worshiper of the flag, and a worshiper of the eagle, and a worshiper of the mythos of America as this kind of super strong, you know, monolithic, powerful thing, when in reality, you know, whatever he thinks it is or was, it'll never be again. And I think what he's scared of is that secession is what's happening everywhere because people are fed up. So I don't know. It's hard for me to interpret good old Pat on this one. I kind of think that he's sort of demonstrating a level of anxiety in this article, if you're sensitive to it. And I kind of understand it. I kind of get it. The thing about people having their own countries at that scale is that people have choices. No, it's not what I would want, which would be a free world, but it's closer to that. And in all likelihood, you'd have one or two of these 50,000 countries where even a guy like Dan could live without worrying about being tossed in a meat chipper. You know, being turned into spam or fucking biodiesel. I think I'll be biodiesel in 5 to 10 years. Or some type of gumbus that you eat in a soup. If you're under the age of 30, there's a good chance you'll be tasting me sometime in the future. And I think there's a good chance I'll taste pretty good. Like a cigarette should. Yeah, buddy. Anyways, I want to move on to the next topic, but I think Pat Buchanan in this particular art essay or whatever, he's demonstrating a concern over something that he should actually be happy about. The thing is, though, it also implies that maybe the United States is too fucking big to be one country. And boy, does that worry people. Because yes, here's the deal, folks. After the acquisition of the military-industrial complex, and this is mostly due to World War II and the decades that followed. After the acquisition of this thing, this monster, this monstrosity, we more or less started living on the Death Star. So the thing about the Death Star is that you're unlikely to tear the rivets apart and break it up into smaller Death Stars. That's just not going to work. That's kind of the problem, is we've sort of dug ourselves into a fucking hole, especially with nuclear weapons. You know, and if you want to know where the concern is about secession, this goes back to the 1990s when the Soviet Union was breaking up, and one of the biggest concerns was some former Soviet republic will get a hold of an atom bomb and do something bad with it. Maybe sell it to the Iranians, or give it to Hezbollah direct, or give it to fucking Yasser Arafat when he was still alive. Isn't he dead now? I don't know. think he should be dead. He'd be old as fuck. He's dead. Next topic, it turns out that Goldman Sachs is going to give WeWork a credit line of $1.75 billion. They're going to give money to WeWork, lots of cash for WeWork. WeWork is a fucking property scam. WeWork is a weird kind of pseudo-arbitrage of human failure and free money. WeWork only exists for the simple fact that a lot of weird things exist right now. You can think of these things as economic mold or mildew. I think of WeWork as a good example of economic mold. Very hard to kill. Because it's about corruption. And favors and rubbing elbows. Who do you know? Uncle Dan doesn't know anybody other than Jesus. And not personally, obviously. Well, I guess if you're a Christian, we all know Jesus personally, but I've been in a weird place with Jesus the last couple months. $1.75 billion. Let's read some of this fucking article on fucking Zero Hedge. Is that okay with you people out there in fucking listening land if we do that? This one comes under the nom de plume Tyler Durden, which I guess applies to anybody that publishes, but this one has no secondary author I can find, so let's just call it by Tyler Durden, published today, Tuesday. A roughly 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Headline, WeWork obtains $1.75 billion credit line from Goldman Sachs. Last week it was rumored.
Share the love you've been given this Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to share the love with you. And yeah, I should be using ad blocker. Fuck, I don't care. I kind of like that shit pops up. Because it's kind of like recording the bullshit that's happened to this fucking website. For history's sake, right? For history's sake. But you gotta make money. The fucking Zero Hedge's gotta make money. Anyways. Starting from the top. Last week it was rumored that Goldman Sachs would provide a new line of credit to bail out SoftBank's money-losing investment in WeWork, thus saving Goldman's money-losing bet on the struggling shared office space company. Now it appears sources familiar with the situation have confirmed to Bloomberg that Goldman has provided a $1.75 billion line of credit as the first step in SoftBank's pledge to put another $5 billion in debt financing for WeWork as part of its bailout package. The new credit line would free up $800 million in cash that WeWork had set aside for covenants on its previous credit line. Quote, "We are pleased that WeWork and SoftBank Group Corp. have entered into a commitment letter with Goldman Sachs," says Aaron Clark, a spokeswoman for WeWork, wrote an email to Bloomberg. Quote, "WeWork and SoftBank are co-obligors, on a senior secured and unsecured basis, respectively." Well, that's fucking great mathematical lawyering right there. She added that WeWork didn't post any cash collateral under the financing deal with Goldman. Well, that's really good, too. I wish I could get that fucking deal. Clark said the credit line would be tapped. Gotta tap that. Tapped as early as next month, preventing WeWork from imminent death. Well, that's not good writing there. Preventing WeWork from imminent death. Or, yeah, that sentence needs to be rewritten, Zero Hedge. Tyler! Anyways, WeWork's bond prices have responded positively to bailouts from SoftBank and Goldman in the last month, have climbed 10 cents to 82.31 on the dollar, and that's only after a plunge following a failed IPO in September. Goldman, a top investor in WeWork, took an $80 million loss when WeWork valuations crashed from $39 billion to about $8 billion in under a year. Oh, that's so sad. Goldman appears to be fully committed to supplying capital to the struggling company. No, Goldman's trying to pump and dump. Okay, we're going to stop reading this fucking article right here because we know exactly how this fucking story ends. Fucking octopus, fucking Humboldt squid. Fucking squid. Fucking Goldman Sachs, people. Here's the deal, folks. It looks like Goldman and probably some of their friends and partners are into SoftBank and WeWork. And so it's in Goldman's best interest to do something called a pump, where they more or less pump up the cash flow, they pump up the bottom line, and then they'll probably pay a bunch of fucking quote-unquote journalists for Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg and whatever other fucking crappy little fucking, even probably Zero Hedge, and they'll probably pay somebody to say, guess what? WeWork is more than you think. WeWork is the next thing. WeWork had a little problem. It's called a gully. WeWork's okay. WeWork's okay. WeWork is okay. There'll be journalists writing WeWork is okay articles, and the stock will get pumped. And here's the thing. If I'm right about Trump and the crack-up boom, that means Goldman has positioned itself to pump up WeWork and then dump it by Q2 or Q3 2020. They will pump and they will dump and they will tell their clients to pump and dump. And that is why the $1.75 billion is being quote-unquote provided to fucking SoftBank for WeWork from Goldman Sachs. That's it, okay? Next topic of interest. This hour of the Little Saigon Report is brought to you by a company that's been in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, for about, 15 minutes. But if you take the ages of all the people on their core team, which is bullshit that a lot of companies will do when they say, we have 200 years experience installing solar panels. It's like, wait a minute. You have 200 years experience installing solar panels? Yeah. Anyways, this company's been around for a bit, and if you combine the ages of their core team, their combined history adds up to something like, maybe 62 years, maybe 67. And no, there's more than one employee. I think there's three. The name of this new startup out of Bellevue is called We Won't. There's a lot that other companies will do. The thing about We Won't LLC of Bellevue looking for an IPO in Q3 of 2020. The thing about We Won't LLC of Bellevue is there's a lot of shit a lot of companies will do. Like provide that extra special service. Well, guess what? We won't. A lot of companies will guarantee their products. What the fuck is wrong with that bullshit? We will not. A lot of companies will make their quarterlies and other financial reports available to local authorities and investors. Yeah, we were incorporated in Azerbaijan, so we won't. There are a lot of companies out there. That if you ask them, will you give me a hooker and cocaine? If I sign that contract with you, will you give me hookers and cocaine? A lot of companies will say, no, we won't. But guess what? We won't. LLC of Bellevue will. We will provide hookers and cocaine. Mini Uzis with magazines filled with 9mm ammo. Hand grenades and bottles of whiskey. There's a lot of stuff that we won't do. But most importantly about We Won't LLC of Bellevue is we won't tell you what to do with the whiskey or the machine guns or the hookers or especially the fucking cocaine. We won't tell you what to do with the cocaine. You know what, folks? I have been a client of We Won't for a few minutes now. You could say, well, Dan, doesn't that sound like another flash in the pan startup that has nothing really to it, just vapor? And what I would say to this thing about we won't tell you not to vape. We won't tell you not to buy weed. We won't tell you what to do with the person you love in the darkness of the night. We won't tell you how fast to drive. We won't tell you if you're still alive. We won't tell you to add the chives to that new recipe, the one for the nachos, you fuck. We won't do a lot of shit because at We Won't LLC of Bellevue, we won't do it, you motherfucker. That's how we return value to the client, oh, by the way. There's a lot we won't do. We save money on not doing a lot. Next topic. Oh yeah, the Space Force. Holy fuck. So I read another article tonight on Zero Hedge about the whole, you know, national fucking Defense Authorization Act. Fucking they do it every year. This is where they tell us that we no longer have civil rights if we live 200 miles from the fucking coast. Yeah, the NDAA or whatever, every fucking year you get more money, more money. Well, guess what? There's a new branch of the fucking services now. It's called the Space Force. Now, when I was a kid, I would wake up to go to Immaculate Conception School. And on the little fucking TV, as a cartoon, we'd be playing something called Star Blazers. An anime cartoon out of Japan. Awesome, awesome anime cartoon out of Japan. Of course, you know, not in the original Japanese, but fuck. Still awesome. And they called themselves the Star Force. And here's the thing, the basic plot of Star Blazers, at least season one, is that the Gamelons have been at war with us for quite a while. They use planet bombs against us, which is a Japanese way of saying nuclear weapons. But guess what? In the 1970s, the Japanese were still a little bit sensitive to nuclear explosions. You might be too, you fuck. Thank you. I loved that cartoon. And it's actually a pretty good cartoon, even if you're a fucking adult. And the great thing about it is it has, you know, a long storyline. But yeah, the Gamelons attack Earth, and they use planet bombs against Earth. So the Star Force is formed, and they take the battleship Yamamoto, which has been sitting at the bottom of the Pacific. But now that the Pacific Ocean has been vaporized, totally gone, the Pacific Ocean has been vaporized, and there's the battleship Yamamoto, but being converted into a space battleship. And this space battleship would take the Star Force all the way to, what was it, Iskandar? To Princess, no, Queen Starsha. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Trump's Space Force, folks. So let's get a couple things out of the way. I am extraordinarily skeptical of NASA. And that's the opposite of what I was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I thought NASA was the coolest thing in the world. In fact, even as a small government Republican, I would always say, well, you know, I hate everything the government does, but I love NASA. They give us all this fucking discovery bullshit. Look at, we've been to space. We've been to the fucking moon. You know, my parents conceived me a few days before we went to the moon. I had my own liftoff, baby. Yeah. Anywho, guys, you know, but then I got older. And you get past the cartoon bullshit, and you finally find yourself, after having served in the military, and realizing how much of that is bullshit and lies and crap. And that was back, you know, before the war on terror, folks. And I've heard stories. I have heard stories from people who've served that are just not great stories. And I've joked in the past about, and it's a joke because I can't prove this has ever happened. But if you want my honest opinion here, it probably has happened. But I have this terrible thought about some Marine or soldier, some fucking Army fucking soldier or Marine, or airman, or even fucking Navy SEAL guarding an opium field in Afghanistan. You know, delivering payoffs. I knew a guy. And you don't have to take my word for it, but I knew a person once, and he told me stories about driving around Afghanistan, dropping off bricks of $100 bills. I mean, this was the heydays of Afghanistan, you know, 2003, 4, 5, those years. Those were great years, right? Years of victory. Victory. Triumphal fucking victory. Yeah, but and he drove around. And so here's the idea. What if some kid guards the opium and he does terrible things in Afghanistan? He goes back and he gets hooked on the opium and he actually ODs on the heroin that he protected. And it sounds fucked up, folks, but the scary thought I have sometimes is that there are soldiers who come back from these fucking wars and end up getting hooked on the drugs they were defending. And guess what, folks? I hate the war on drugs. Guess what? It's a stupid war. It is a war that is turning Mexico into more of a basket case than Mexico's been. And guess what? It's not like they've always had a good history of political stability. But Mexico as a nation state is crumbling in part because of the war on drugs. It's stupid. We should end it. But that being said, just because I don't want a war on drugs doesn't mean I want to fight wars for drugs either. You know what? I don't want any of the fucking wars. But if one of the purposes of a war is to make sure we have access to rare earth metals in Afghanistan And side bonus, the CIA can hustle heroin out of Afghanistan and make money off of that. If that's the fucking strategic purpose of Afghanistan, that is a horribly evil mission. And we should have ended that yesterday. In fact, Obama, if he had been the person you all said he was, remember, he got the Nobel Peace Prize before I think he even got sworn in, okay, that motherfucker. If he was half the person that they gave him that Nobel Peace Prize because it was hopeful, we're hopeful, he would have ended the war in Afghanistan, a totally illegitimate war. Afghanistan didn't attack us on 9/11, if you believe the story. It was a bunch of fucking Saudis. And there's even more evidence, if you believe the story, that it was the Saudis. But the point is, it was all bullshit. I don't know what the truth is, but I'm certain it was bullshit. How does that connect to the Space Force? Well, here's the deal, folks. Whatever the Space Force is, it is not as advertised, okay? I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty certain they're lying about it. And I'm sure it's necessary for some people to have the Space Force, but for the people like us, ordinary everyday people, it's total bullshit. And yeah, they'll tell you, oh, the Chinese are building battleships. The Chinese are building battleships in space. Really? Are they really doing that? Because if they're doing that, they're wasting fucking money and time. Sooner rather than later, having food to eat will be way more important than having space battleships. So, maybe we should prioritize. What do you think, baby? But now, of course, this does go to the whole, is there a secret space program? And guys, I don't know what to tell you. I think I might include a link to Forum Borealis in this, if I can remember to. But I was listening to a podcast a while back, and this guy studied the history of NASA, space programs, and he's one of these people that believes, totally believes, I think Michael Stratt, I don't know, totally believes that, yeah, there's a secret space program, and they got secret starships. And secret craft that can go faster than light. And maybe even visit Mars, you know, so we can all go skiing on Mars. Can you imagine a ski resort on Olympus Mons? Olympus Mons is like 60, 70 miles tall. You could like ski from the top to the bottom, and that would be a whole day thing. In fact, maybe it would be treated like a multi-day thing, like you would do it over 2 days. I'm skiing down Olympus Mons over the next 3 days. This is my vacation on Mars. But I don't know what to think about the Space Force. I just think it's more bad money, more stupid money. I think we have worse problems than space battleship needs. I don't think we have a need for more space cannons. But that's the thing, folks. Don't try to make sense about any of this on the fucking Death Star. Okay, you live on the Death Star. You probably are like me. You live closer to the reactor. When Luke Skywalker comes and fires his photon torpedoes like he was, you know, what do you call it? Bullseyeing wop rats? Yeah. He's gonna bullseye wop rats. I remember that line from the first fucking movie, which is really fucking episode 4. It's just like bullseyeing wop rats back home. Yeah, so Luke Skywalker's gonna bullseye some wop rats, like, back home. And send a couple photon torpedoes down our bunghole. And you guys, we don't have a TIE fighter to escape like Darth Vader, no. We will go up in that giant ball of flame. Our families, our relatives, our hookers, our cocaine, all of it destroyed. That's life for a fucking pirate on the Death Star. And I think that's it for tonight, folks. I think I've already gone past my welcome. Thank you. As stated before in other podcasts, if you like my podcast, if you enjoy listening to it, and you have taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, you've taken care of your cats, your dogs, that crazy-ass animal you keep pent up in the fucking attic, if you've taken care of your hookers and bought your cocaine, if you have all the money you need, and everyone you love is taken care of, like Anthony Quinn and Lawrence of Arabia, you are a river to your people. And if all that is taken care of, and you have extra money left over, and you like this podcast for whatever fucking reason, then please feel free to give me a little cash, because I need hookers. I need cocaine. I need love too, baby. And what else can I say? But good night.